This is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne County, and I'm in Calaveras today talking to Katie Johnson, who is our nutrition advisor for the four counties, which is El Dorado, Amador, Calaveras, and Tuolumne counties. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Debbie.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Oh, good.
Well, good. So for people that don't know, you're fairly newly hired. How long has it been now?
It's been 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. It flew by.
Yes, but you helped move us into the new office here in San Andreas, and so you've really been dynamic and moving forward and had a lot going on.
Well, there's so much to do. We have so many fantastic programs out of our UC offices that there's been no shortage of great projects to jump into.
Oh, that's true. That is very true. Now, what does a nutrition advisor do?
So I do a few things. My title is Nutrition, Family, and Consumer Science Advisor. So a lot of what I look at is nutrition education and helping provide information about what a healthy diet looks like. So I oversee our CalFresh Nutrition Education Program. I also occasionally help out with our Master Food Preserver program in the area. And then I also like to help on a number of strategies that we call PSC, or policy systems and environmental strategies. So those are things that areas where I try to help people other than just by giving them information. I try to actually change our local spaces and our local systems we have going on for the better, to improve people's health. So an example of that would be starting up new programs that encourage people to be active, like worksite wellness programs or healthy retail programs that make it possible for people to seek out healthier foods, because sometimes they're not super available. So you can know that an apple is a healthier choice, but if it's not right there in front of you when you go to buy food, then you're probably not going to eat that apple.
Sure.
Right? So work a lot on food access and food security, so making sure people can equitably access good, healthy food. And gardening, home gardening, of course, is a huge piece of that in our area.
Yes, absolutely, because people have backyards, front yards, or, you know, they've got some kind of area where they can do gardening.
Mm-hmm, yep. Any space you have, pretty much, you can grow some food in it around here, so.
Now, you've also got a wonderful background because your family owns Red Earth Farm, and I understand that you really don't have time right now to work on the farm, which is understandable since you're traveling among four counties, but your husband hasn't. And how long have you had that farm?
We're about 10 years in now, well, 11. We're in our 11th growing season in our location, which is outside Sonora.
Which is wonderful, and the Tuolumne Master Gardeners have visited the farm, and it's really great. You grow a lot of produce for the farmer's market?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're still at the Sonora Farmer's Market.
Which is wonderful. That's one of the favorite farmer's market. But what we were going to talk about today is, when you're growing a garden, what are some of the vegetables or the plants to grow that are maybe give you a lot of nutrition, or more nutrition than others? Maybe things to consider. What do you consider when you're growing things for your garden?
Mm. I love this question because, well, on one hand, there's no wrong answer, because pretty much anything we grow in our gardens at home and consume, they're going to be at their peak of freshness. So they're going to be really high in their nutrient levels because vegetables do lose some nutrition as they sit and are shipped and stored and sit around for a while.
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm,
so they do. It just kind of, I mean, it's still good when you buy it at the store,
uh-huh.
but it's diminishing.
It's going to be at its peak. It's very peak right after it's picked or soon after it's picked. And it depends vegetable to vegetable, and some things are more sensitive than others, certain nutrients. But generally, you're going to get the highest nutrition the fresher the food is.
Oh, good.
So, or if it's freshly preserved.
Right,
so,
right.
If you're growing and preserving your foods at home, then you're going to get the most nutrition from those vegetables than you can. And also, of course, because you might be able to grow some of the more fun heirloom or just really well adapted varieties that often are bred more for their flavor and their nutrition than the varieties we see in the supermarket, which are bred primarily for storage, shipping, holding
something?
Well on the shelf. So one big across the board takeaway is if it tastes really good and it's really ripe, it's probably going to have a better nutritional profile than if it's a little cold,
right.
sad tomato sitting
right.
on the supermarket shelf in the middle of November, right?
Well, that's a
so.
Huge incentive to, you know, grow some of your own vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tomatoes, that seems to be a very popular item to grow in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And do you grow some of the heirloom varieties, some of the larger, more flavorful?
Mm-hmm. Across the board, we always like to grow heirloom varieties whenever possible. It is a balance in terms of production and what yield you're going to get. So I think that's a big consideration whenever you grow the heirlooms. But we have found some that do quite well, and we like to grow a variety anyway because,
mm-hmm.
one, for production purposes, it's nice to have a variety. So if you get a little trouble with one, then you don't have all your eggs in one basket, right?
Right.
So we grow a diversity, and we're very diversified in what we grow. But also, from a nutritional perspective, we always want to eat the rainbow. So that's when we teach kids, but I like to use it for adults too because it's
sure.
really easy to remember. So when you eat the rainbow, you're ensuring that you're getting a variety of nutrients because all those nutrients, vitamins and different antioxidants and phytonutrients that are in those vegetables that are part of what make them so healthy for us, they all have different colors. Actually, a lot of them express different colors. So like beta carotene is what
mm-hmm.
makes carrots or winter squash orange. It's that nice yellow orange. Actually, in egg yolks as well, you can see
that.
Oh,
I didn't realize that.
Most places in food where you see that color, it's a good indication that beta carotene is present. Even butter, you look at something like a grass-fed butter, might be more yellow if it doesn't
mm-hmm.
hasn't been artificially colored.
Right.
So, color in your food is a good indication that you're getting some good nutrition. There's also the red. Going back to tomatoes, there's lycopene is a
mm-hmm.
big. Really nice nutrient that's in tomatoes and also in red watermelon.
What does
that
do?
Red
what,
color.
Why is that helpful or what?
It's a phytonutrient that
okay.
Is just one of many that's possibly contained, but it's really good for our cardiovascular system. So that's our heart health, circulatory system, things,
okay.
everything in that system in our body.
And what's in carrots, the beta carotene,
mm-hmm.
I know typically for kids, they say eyes,
uh-huh,
that it's good for
why,
your eyes.
That's why you tell kids eat the carrots if you want your eyes to be healthy. Mm-hmm, it does have some truth, you know. And a lot of these vitamins do double duty and interact with each other in our body, so... So really, the trick is if we eat the rainbow, we don't necessarily even have to worry about are we getting enough lycopene or are we getting
mm-hmm.
enough beta carotene, and we don't have to get too down in the weeds, so to speak, about
right.
About what nutrients we're getting, because if we're eating that rainbow, if we're really getting all the different colors, and I was like the rainbow including white, because white vegetables,
oh, yeah.
I don't want people to think that they're not healthy. White vegetables have their own profile as
okay.
well, nutritional profile, and are very healthy. But
such
as long
as
we're eating cauliflower, turnips,
right.
So as long as we're eating a variety of colors,
mm-hmm.
then we're really eating a variety of nutrients, and that's what's going to make sure we don't have any problems or develop any deficiencies. Hopefully, if we're relatively
sure.
healthy and eating a good balanced diet, then.
So should we maybe consider that when we're planning our garden? Maybe kind of thinking about, you know, here's the red tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
and maybe kind of thinking along that line,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we need some green, so maybe it's kale, maybe
mm-hmm.
it's green beans,
yep.
or
and it can come in lots of different ways, exactly. So you can have your yellow tomatoes as well as your red tomatoes,
How
right? And
corn?
You can have your orange bell peppers. Corn is a really good one. So I would say corn, because of the amount of space it takes and because it's on the starchier, sweeter side nutritionally, I would recommend, unless you have the space in a home garden to do a true large-scale, square plot of corn
mm-hmm.
for optimum germination or optimum pollination, then you may not get real great results otherwise in a home garden if you're just
mm-hmm.
growing a few corn plants, because they do need so much cross-pollination.
Well, and water.
And
I
water,
mean, they
and
actually...
they actually take a whole lot out of the soil as well. They're very,
oh.
they're very, very hungry plants, corn
okay.
is from the soil. So what I actually love to recommend and really love to grow is popcorn. I don't know if you've ever grown popcorn.
I've never grown popcorn.
They're really, really fun. So the plants are smaller. They're not quite as hungry. And
how tall do they usually
get? Probably waist high. Maybe a little higher. It's going to depend on variety. But they're
that's
not
a big difference.
Huge. They're not huge like your standard corn plant is.
Okay.
And popcorn, of course, can be a really healthy snack on the other end of it, as long as you don't totally drown it in butter and salt. But it's a really fun thing to grow. It's a fun, you can store it very easily right on the cob once
oh.
they're dry and fully matured,
so
and dry.
Do
you just have these little ears. As long as they're fully dry, I would just
mm-hmm.
store them in a cool, dark place where they can breathe. So a paper bag in a cupboard,
oh,
in a dark
nice.
Cupboard is a good place to store them. Mm-hmm. And you
oh.
want to keep them away from pests,
well,
actually.
That's
so
true.
You may want to eventually put them in a glass jar. But you just want to make
okay.
sure they're completely dry before you do that, so you don't get any moisture.
Oh, that sounds like so much
but
fun.
But it's really fun. You can actually just stick. They come. Usually the ears are pretty small, maybe
mm-hmm.
only 4 inches or so, the varieties
okay.
I've grown. And you can put a whole ear in a paper bag and close that paper bag and put it in the microwave and pop it for
you
a
mean
month.
The ear?
Maybe,
the,
mm-hmm, the whole
you don't
cob.
Have
the whole
to take
little mini corn air, cob.
So just put the whole
put
thing
in, mm-hmm.
in a paper bag.
And pop it in the microwave.
For how long?
Couple minutes. It's going to depend
okay.
on how big the,
right.
the ear
how
is
many
and the microwave, but they will pop
kernels.
Even
sure.
on there, and you'll end up.
Oh my
you can
gosh.
Also take it off, and it's a little easier to control. You might get more more popped
more
out of
uniform
it. You know?
Popping.
Yeah, more uniform popping if you remove them. It might be easier to store that way as well if you
how
remove the kernels, which you can do with get some good sturdy gloves to just pop
mm-hmm.
the little kernels off into a bowl.
Oh.
So that's fun. And then another thing I really love to grow for both nutrition and fun in the garden that I think is kind of an underappreciated plant is dry beans. So I know
dry
a lot of people grow green
beans. Sure.
Dry beans are just as easy to grow.
Really?
You just choose a different, they are. They really are. They're really fun. They make beautiful flowers. They like most green beans. They like
right.
to vine, although there are some bush types
mm-hmm.
as well.
Okay.
But so the traditional, American way often was to use corn to trellis beans and sometimes
right.
squash as well. So if you have your popcorn going, or you just have a fence
oh,
or a trellis
idea.
Or however you want to do it, but dry beans are probably, if I had to pick the healthiest food or the one food I could only live off of for the rest of my life, it would be beans. They are just nutrition powerhouses, the humble bean. They are inexpensive, easy to grow in the garden, and super healthy for you.
And they
so
store well.
They store quite well. So when you're growing them in your garden, you can just let them dry on the vine.
Oh.
Make sure they get to full maturity, although with some varieties you do want to watch. Some of them, the pods will start popping open and you might start
oh.
losing beans.
Okay.
But you want them to be fully mature and drying down, and you pick them off, and you can either shell them out of the pod just by
mm-hmm.
hand and pick them out, or if you let them get fully completely dry, you can put on a pair of gloves, have your beans all together in a bin, and just rub them, just crush them.
Oh.
And the beans are so hard and dry, you're not going
right.
to damage them just with your
okay.
hands, and you just rub the pods and you crunch and crunch and crunch them. And so you end up with a bunch of, you know, dust of disintegrating, you know, bean pods that you have destroyed and are just dried pieces and a lot of dust. And then you can pour from one container into another with a box fan blowing on it.
Oh my gosh.
So you put on a box fan and you have a container below it that you're going to be able, and you just pour past that box fan and all that dust and those dry, light little bean pods will just blow right away. And
then you have your, so much fun.
Yeah, so that's how commercially when we have, in the past, many years ago, we did grow some beans for seed, for seed, but on a relatively small scale where we're not going to be getting the large machinery that make that a little bit easier. That's how we always did it. And then, of course, you can use those beans as seed to plant again the next year.
That is amazing.
And there are so many fun varieties, too.
That's what I was going to ask you. What are some of your favorite varieties and why?
Any bean is going to be super healthy for you because they're just full of fiber, which is great for a lot of reasons in our body. Obviously, digestion, but also our heart health. Also, it supports healthy microbiomes. If you've heard of probiotics, are really popular now and supporting our good bacteria. Well, probiotics need to eat something. A lot of what they eat is fiber or many kinds of prebiotics. Fiber. So eating lots of vegetables actually supports a healthy microbiome in general.
Okay.
But fiber is one of the main ways that that it does that. And so beans are just full of fiber. So depending on the variety, some of them have a little higher protein or a little higher fat content. It's a vegetable-based fat, so I wouldn't consider it an unhealthy fat. It's not, it's not saturated. Unsaturated, good, healthy plant-based food, but so pintos tend to be a little higher on the fat content. That's why they're a little sort of creamier when you eat them. And then black beans are a little bit higher in protein, so they're known for being good protein packed. But all of them actually are considered a protein food.
Okay.
So when we look at what we're supposed to eat in a day,
and what does that mean, a protein food?
So we talk about in our general nutrition ed, we use something called My Plate. Which is just a picture of a plate, if you can imagine it. On one side, you've got half of it filled up with fruits and vegetables, a little bit more vegetables than fruit. And on the other side, you have about half filled up with protein, a little bit less than that other half. So it's about roughly a quarter protein, quarter vegetables, quarter fruits, and a quarter grains. And then also dairy on the side is what's on my plate. And that's kind of just a picture of, over the course of a day or even over the course of a week, what our diets should look like. It doesn't have to be every single time we sit down to eat. Our plate doesn't have to look like that because we eat, you know, enchiladas and everything's mixed up and they're not neatly divided into portions. And that's totally fine. But if we think about half of what we eat should be those fruits and vegetables. And then about the remaining half should be evenly split between grains, preferably whole grains. At least half the grains we eat should be whole grains.
And why is
that? Undefined. Again, for the fiber and for higher fiber is the main reason. But there are a lot of nutrients actually that are stripped away when the grains are refined as well. So, and you can eat, you know, we have refined grains are so common, and they're not the devil. They're not horrible, terrible to eat. They can be part of a healthy diet. But we want to aim for whole grains, at least half of the grains we eat to be whole.
Sure.
But then that protein category, getting back to beans, so beans are obviously vegetables, but they are so high in protein, we actually tend to consider them more in that protein quarter of our plate rather than the vegetable.
So could that be a substitute for something traditionally we would think of as meat or animal products?
Sure, you can absolutely do it, and it'll help fill you up in a way that a protein food does.
Okay.
So protein is it's a lot of what makes us feel full and lasting, keeps our appetite down.
Because
if we eat nothing but just fruits and veggies, we'll probably be hungry a little while later. But beans, even though they're a vegetable, have enough protein, they'll help us stay full.
Oh, that's a great tip. I've got to try that myself. I've got to eat more beans.
Yeah.
And so that is great to know that they're easy to grow in the garden, fairly easy. And they store well, and you talked about, you know, harvesting them. And how, just kind of how long do they store? How long can you keep dried beans?
You can keep them around for quite a while. I think ideally you're going to turn them over every year. And especially if you're, as a gardener, you know, if you're going to plant again from the next year, maybe save enough that you can plant. And your eating beans are the same as your seed beans in this case, because...
Which is great. That makes it easy.
It does. So you can just save enough beans as you want to seed for the next year. And I think that would be ideal.
Okay.
If you keep them really cool and dry, you can store them probably longer than a year, but they will start to sort of over dry. And I've had some go a few years before, and they get really, they take so long to cook after that. They're so dry, and they really aren't quite as good as after a year. Nutritionally, there may not be a large difference there, but just in terms of how long they take to cook, and they get really over dry.
So. Sure. Now, I know we're starting to possibly maybe think about fall gardens. I know, isn't that hard to...
It is, I know, but that's the trick, is now's when you got to think about it.
Right. And when do you start, or when does the farm start planting for fall vegetables?
I think ideally, the very beginning of August would probably be when we would try to get a lot of stuff in. Sometimes it doesn't happen until later than that. But
okay.
But yeah, it's in. You could even start end of July. So that's when we would think about putting in some things like the roots, root crops, that we want them to germinate while it's warm and get a good head start on growing while there's sunlight and it's warm enough that the plants can really start to grow. And then if they've gotten that jump start and they're well on their way when fall hits and it cools down and the light starts decreasing, then they'll continue to grow at a slower pace, but they'll be ready in that fall zone and even through the winter.
Isn't it probably a little bit easier to garden for fall crops, because once it starts raining, we don't have to worry about watering as much?
Yeah, it is in a lot of ways. I like growing in cool weather. I mean, I love growing peppers and tomatoes, but it's tougher in our climate, I think, to grow summer crops sometimes, because the sun is so intense and there is so much heat. So I love fall gardens, yes, and spring too.
And what are you planning to plant, or what is the farm planning to plant?
So we always, we'll see what ends up happening this year, but we always like to do a lot of dark leafy greens. And this is another one that's huge for nutrition. They're one of the very healthiest foods you could ever eat, would be a nice dark leafy green.
And
so
what
that's
are those?
Kale is
okay.
a big one. Chard, rainbow chard or Swiss chard or any of those. Spinach is also related. We actually do a little less spinach. We find it's very susceptible to disease, and especially if we plant it when it's still warm at all.
Okay.
Swiss chard is closely related to spinach, and I find the flavor to be comparable, and I personally prefer to grow chard than I do to grow spinach. And nutritionally they're very similar.
Sounds like it's easier to grow than spinach, because if spinach is a little bit susceptible.
And the harvest is extended, so again, if you get them in and they're good, healthy growing plants, by the time the weather really cools down, you can keep them going all through the winter here, usually, unless you live way up in the mountains and get a really hard frost. But even then, you could still just throw a little cover cloth over them, and they'd probably be okay. So, same with kale. Also, you can get a really extended harvest with kale if you have a nice, healthy plant and you just keep picking leaves off of it, and it'll keep growing. And you can have your greens throughout the winter here.
Nice. So we've got the greens, because I'm thinking about the rainbow colors.
There's some good.
Is
green.
There another color maybe you can plant regarding veggies that would be for?
Carrots, of course, that's always good, and that's a good orange you can have. And there are actually, you can get really fun and do some rainbow carrots and get some different ones in there too. But also beets, of course, beets, you're going to get a ton of that color. Beets are very healthy. They have that deep red, of course, or you can grow your other kinds.
So with the deep red, what would be the nutrient that is
similar to some of the other red foods with those? They're, you know, kind of known for being good all-purpose foods. Beets are known for being really good for digestion as well. They are very high fiber food, like most vegetables, but beets in particular. They're also a really good double bang for your buck because beets are also in the same family as chard and spinach.
Really?
And fresh from the garden, the greens have a lovely flavor, and you can eat beet greens just like you would eat chard.
You know what? I gotta admit, I've done it so few times and I always forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
I totally always forget you can do that.
Yep, they're really quite good.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. How about another color?
So let's think about, white, honestly.
Okay.
I mentioned white is a good color to include in your rainbow, even though it might not be in a typical rainbow we think of, and especially in our winter foods.
Okay.
There's a lot of white foods that grow. So if you like to grow broccoli, cauliflower is a really fun one, very similar to grow. You take a little longer to form a nice full head, but cauliflower is just great. A lot of the white foods have really good anti-cancer agents in them, so cauliflower is known for that.
Right.
And it's really fun to have your own homegrown cauliflower.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now it's so popular because people are using it instead of potatoes sometimes, it seems like, in some of the restaurants.
Yep.
They're talking about creamy, mashed cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really delicious.
It is. It's a yummy one.
How about any of the squashes?
So squash, absolutely. We didn't talk about squash a whole lot. We could actually probably still, if you were planting right now, you might still get a crop out of winter squash.
Oh.
So winter squash is always a little bit of a
But you'd
misnomer
have to do it now.
Because people think you grow it in the winter, but it is actually a very cold sensitive plant. It grows in the summer alongside your zucchinis and your other squashes, but it stores through the winter.
Okay,
so that's where
right.
the name comes from. And a lot of those are that orange color or yellow color. One of my absolute favorites is delicata squash.
I'm not familiar with that.
Fantastic. It's my favorite winter squash, probably for all purpose.
What does it look like?
6 inches long-ish, somewhere in there. Yellow squash.
Okay.
Cylindrical, so elongated, not a round one. And it has some green stripes down the side. And they're really manageable to grow. You can actually even trellis them up, like you might, like, I don't know if you've ever trellis zucchini or something, but they will vine up somewhat.
Oh,
so if you have limited space, you can grow those. And then they have this beautiful yellow color. They're delicate. They're not that deep orange that many winter squash are. And they have a fantastic texture. So we cut them in half and take the seeds out and bake them face down. Just rub them with a little tiny bit of olive oil and bake them face down on a baking sheet until they're really soft. And we just eat them. We might put a little, I like to put a little tiny bit, I make a miso butter or something, or just a drizzle of olive oil or coconut oil or whatever you might like.
That sounds
just a little
wonderful.
Bit to get that. And
I'm getting hungry, I have to admit.
I know, they're so tasty. And the texture is almost custardy. They're really delicious.
What?
And you can eat the skin on delicatas. The skin, the peel is so thin. And, of course, there's a lot of nutrients that go in.
I am totally sold.
Colors.
I'm going to have to grow it.
Yeah, they're really good. And they're a little harder to find in markets because they don't store quite as long as the other ones. I think you get that nice, delicate skin that you can actually eat.
Right.
But also they don't store. So maybe only a couple months storage rather than all winter long.
But you know what? That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're able to get even a couple of months, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's amazing,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. They are really fun.
Well, I hate to tell you, Katie, but I believe we've run out of time. But can we have you back on the show? And
sure, I would love
talk
to
some
come
more.
Back.
And just kind of, are there any events coming up that you wanted to talk about? We probably have about 30 seconds.
Well, you could probably talk just as much, but I know the Master Gardeners and the Master Food Preservers are doing a really fun event coming up in El Dorado, if anybody gets up that direction. This is a day-long workshop. It might be worth the drive up to Placerville.
Sure,
absolutely. We're going to do really fun how to grow foods and how to preserve them all in one. So
right,
it's great
right.
for gardeners to know that other side of the preservation.
Right, but check our website, because our website... for the Central Sierra Cooperative Extension, and you can just Google that. That has the listing of all the classes, all the events.
Yes, from
so
all our
great,
programs.
So great tip. And thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you,
Bye.
Debbie. Bye.